Good evening. It's 8 o'clock in Yerushalayim, and we want to talk a bit about the parasha of Yitro, and we'll probably manage to get through the first pasuk. The parasha of Yitro is, I think, the first pasuk in the parasha says, "Vayishma Yitro Kohen Midyan." Yitro, who is also a priest in Midian. I mean, we have to imagine that he was not a priest, a Jewish priest in Midian. He was a Midian priest. And he was also Chotein Moshe, Moshe's father-in-law. Et kol asher asah Elokim leMoshe, vayishma, that's the verb at the beginning of the pasuk. He, Yitro, heard everything that had been done, everything that God had done to Moshe or Yisrael, or for Moshe and Yisrael Amo, somehow putting Moshe at the forefront here, Kiyotzi Hashem et Yisrael Mitzrayim, because that's what he heard. He heard about the fact that God took Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, Yishma Yitro, and he heard all of the things that God had done for Moshe and Yisrael, in that he took them out of Mitzrayim. So Rashi sits down, he's going to explain something to us. I mean, it seems pretty straightforward. We understand the pasuk. And yet Rashi has something to say about it. Rashi says, Vayishma Yitro. Vayishma Yitro says, what do you mean Vayishma? What was Vayishma? He heard, he knew. He was given the following information, Yitro, Mashmu Ashama Ubab. What did he hear exactly? And so Rashi says, Kriyat Yam Suf Melchemet Amalek, the two things he heard about were the two most recent miraculous events, Kriyat Yam Suf, splitting of the sea, which led to the destruction of the Egyptian army, Umilchemet Amalek, and the war against Amalek, which did not decisively indicate a defeat for the Amalekites, but they were also not successful. Amalek was not successful. Bnei Yisrael, for the first time in history, held its own against a strong enemy. So, of course, the question everybody asks is, why does Rashi have to tell us with greater specificity what it was that Yitro heard? Isn't it enough what the pasuk itself says, the last words in the pasuk, Ki Yotzi Hashem et Yisrael Mimitzrayim? That's what he heard. I guess he heard with the idea that God took Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, all of the miracles that it took, and the interaction between Paro and Moshe and Aaron, right? All of that was something. Why did Rashi have to add Mashmua Shama Uba Kriyat Yam Suf Melchemet Amalek? So I think that this is connected. I mean, the answer. The answer is connected to a kind of different question. I know that in the Chumash it says that God hardened Paro's heart. And therefore, even after terrible plagues, terrible situations with the Egyptian people, Paro was unsympathetic. He said, no, I'm not going to let them out. So even though the Torah says that God hardened Paro's heart, I mean, it could be. I mean, why not? That's what the Torah says. But what did Paro say to himself? Paro didn't say to himself, God, Moshe came to Paro and said, there's going to be Arbe, locusts, the likes of which no one has ever seen. And then God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, we'll harden his heart. He's not going to let you out. He's not going to let you out of the Arabah, because there's another Makkah that still has to be placed upon him He's not going to let you out. So true to form, Paro doesn't let them out. But what did Paro say to himself? What did Paro say to himself? I mean, how did Paro justify not giving in to the Makot in Mitzrayim? How did Paro justify not giving in to Moshe Rabbeinu's request? What are you doing, Miriam? Is there paper there?
I have.
So what did Paro say to himself? It's true that God hardened his heart and made it difficult for Paro. It made it difficult for Paro to do anything else, but Paro still had to justify his action to himself. So I think that Paro lived in a world of many gods. There were many gods, as the Torah says, you know, Elohim Acherim.
Yeah, this one.
Yitro. One, there's one.
Yeah, I have it.
Okay, I'll try it again. I'm sorry. That if Paro lived in a world where there were many gods, every city had a god, every country had a god, sometimes more than one. And the only way these gods could kind of in the minds of the people lived with each other is if the gods somehow made a deal. You're in charge of this, in charge of that. But anybody who has ever, you know, taken a look at the complexity of Greek mythology, you understand that gods that were in charge of features of action and features. I mean, you know, the Rambam deals with that to a certain extent. So the world was divided up amongst the gods. And we know that when the Assyrians brought the brought the Shomronim into Eretz Canaan, they decided to take to become Jewish, or to worship the God of the land of Canaan. It was like people, you see, to them to be reasonable. Reasonable, there are a lot of gods in a lot of different places. When you come to a new place, you have to kind of give praise to the God of that place. So I think that Paro, he had praise for the God of his town, of the next town, of the country, of the neighboring country. I mean, all of these gods had to be appeased to some extent. So Paro said, is there all these gods in the world? Every god has a certain amount of power, but everybody's power is limited. That's part of the arrangement. If there are many gods, each god is limited in his power. And so when Moshe Rabbeinu came to Paro and said, Arbe, there's going to be a plague of the Abbasid you've never seen before. So Paro said to himself, okay, we're going to get a beating on the Arbe, but the God that produces the Arbe, probably that's the end of the line. There's nothing that he could do. And that's certainly what Paro said after Makat Bechorot, after the firstborn were killed. Paro said to the people, let's chase after them and bring them back to be saved. Where did he get that energy from? Well, he assumed that Matchat Bechorot, for whatever reason, was the end. The God of Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't do more than that. And that's why Kriyat Yam Suf was so important. So Mashmua Shama'uba, Kriyat Yam Suf, outside of Mitzrayim, in a place where nobody could live, You can't live in the water. And nobody could. And Melchemet Amalek, the Amalekites came to destroy. They came to fight against God. And they were able to, even outside of the cities, outside of Mitzrayim, outside of Yam Suf, they were able to withstand the attack of the Amalekites. So Yitro, who was Kohen Midyan, it says in the Pasuk, he was a priest of Midyan. Yitro was a priest, meaning he was knowledgeable in matters of religion. I mean, what is a Kohen supposed to do? He'll tell you about religion. You know, he'll tell you what might happen in the world. He'll tell you what might happen in the world with the particular gods that he's acquainted with. So Yitro wanted proof that took him outside of the thinking of Paro. Mashmu Hashemaoba, what was it that convinced Yitro that there was something special going on? Kriyat Yam Suf Melchemet Amalek. Kriyat Yam Suf means that the physical world is connected somehow to the will of God. And Melchemet Amalek is that God is willing to protect the Jewish people, right, even after they left Mitzrayim. And this is Vayishma Yitro and the Rashi. And in connection to this idea, I would like to mention that, you know, the Parsha is called Yitro. The Parsha is called Yitro. Why is it called Yitro? Well, you know, let's say the first remarkable word in the first Pasuk is Yitro. So we call the Parsha Yitro. That's how Parshiyot are named. But after all, isn't it true that Yitro was, at least in the first part of his life, was certainly not Jewish? Not only was he not Jewish, he was a Kohen Midyan. And being a Kohen Midyan had nothing to do with being Jewish or accepting the Torah, even though he himself went to accept the Torah, yes. But wouldn't you expect the parsha of the Matan Torah, that the parsha of Matan Torah would be the parsha of Moshe Rabbeinu? And if I just switch the words of the pasuk around a little bit, Moshe. It says, "Vayish Chotein Moshe Shama Chotein Moshe Yitro Shama Et Kol Asher Asah Elokim LeMoshe LeYisrael." You could put the word Moshe further up in the first pasuk, and then you'd be able to call the parasha Moshe. But why is it that it was called Yitro? It was called Yitro because Yitro did something that was so important, so special, so unique, that we can't forget it. What did Yitro do? Yitro went to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, "You're working too hard." You know, like he's the father-in-law. So he says, "You're working too hard. You don't have time for my wife. You don't have time for my children, my grandchildren. You don't take care of the things you have to take care of. You better stop working like a meshuganet." Yitro says to Moshe Rabbeinu. So it seemed to me that the Torah writes this down. And it seems to me that Moshe should have been able to figure that out himself. I mean, you know, what is so difficult about figuring out that you don't have time to do the things that you want to do? What's so difficult about figuring out that if you work day and night nonstop, it's going to affect your health and things are going to be bad? So I imagine that Moshe Rabbeinu had an answer, had a response. Yitro said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "You're working too hard. If you're working too hard, you're not going to be able to serve the people. You're going to die. I mean, you'll be sick. You'll die." That's what Yitro said to Moshe Rabbeinu. What did Moshe Rabbeinu say to Yitro? What did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Look, if they come to me and ask me a question, a shaila, know, they ask me a question in halacha, what the Torah wants. So I give them the perfect answer. The answer that I give them comes straight from heaven. And if for some reason I don't know the answer, I appeal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I say, what's the answer? And I get an answer from heaven. So B'nai Yisrael, that's what they want. They want the answer to come from heaven. They don't want some judge that I appointed to be the one who makes that decision. Right? They don't want that. So Yitro said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I understand. I understand you want the perfect answer. But you know, Moshe, sooner or later you're going to be gone. You're going to leave the world that we live in. And then B'nai Yisrael are going to say, we don't get the right answer. And because we don't get the right answer, we don't want to do it anymore. If we don't know Hilchot Shabbat, and we have no way of accessing Hilchot Shabbat, why should we keep the Shabbat? We don't know what we're doing anyway. So you, Moshe Rabbeinu, have an obligation to appoint judges now and to convince the people that the judges that you appoint have equal authority to you yourself, so that when you're no longer there, they'll go and ask the Rabbanim of the generation. And that's what happened. And that's so Moshe Rabbeinu brought the Torah into the world. But Yitro created the special relationship between the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu brought into the world and the Torah itself. And what was that special relationship? That if you study the Torah, and if you're involved in the Torah, you will come up with the correct answer. That's the promise. Otherwise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have given you the Torah in the first place. If it was inconceivable that you could figure out what you're supposed to do at a particular moment, so you wouldn't get the Torah at all. Let's go on in Rashi. Yitro? The Rashi says, Sheva Shemot Nikri'ulo. Sheva Shemot, here's a man who has seven names. Now, you know, generally when somebody has more than one name, it's because he went through a personality change. Avraham became Avraham because Avraham had a very special relationship, very special to Emunah, to faith. And therefore, he was a different person than he was when his parents named him. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu names him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu names him. Same thing is true about Sarai. But when we come to Yaakov, we know that Yaakov had two names. Yaakov and Yisrael. And sometimes he was Yaakov and sometimes he was Yisrael. He didn't lose his name. In the Torah, sometimes he's called Yaakov and sometimes he's called Yisrael. Yaakov means devious, difficult, creating enemies. That's all Yaakov. Yisrael, atop of the heap, victorious, glory. That's Yisrael. So Yaakov, sometimes he was Yaakov, sometimes he was Yisrael. So Rashi says this, Sheva Shemot Nikru'ulo, meaning he had seven different personalities. He was seven different people at different times. Reuel, Yeter, Yitro, Chovov, Chever, Keni, Putiel. Then he starts explaining some of these names, not all of them, but some of them. He says Yeter, that was his apparently original name. His original name was Yeter. Al Shem Sheyiter Parasha Achat Batorah. Yeter. Al Shem Sheyiter. There's an extra parasha. What's the extra parasha? That you have to appoint Dayanim. What do you mean you have to appoint Dayanim? If you think the Dayanim are not on the same level as the Dayanim of the previous generation, you have to listen to them. You have to accept them. You have to So that's the parasha. Al Shem Shiyiteh, there was an extra parasha b'Torah because of him. That's how the parasha begins. That's Yeter. That's the name Yeter. What about Yitro? What the name Yitro? Should it Gayer? V'kiyem et ha-mitzvot. Osifu lo otachat al shemo. So first he was called Yeter. Why was he called Yeter? Well, I mean, maybe when you read Rashi, Reuel, that was his name. Then he was called Yeter because he added a parasha unto the Torah. After that, he was called Yitro, Shenit Gayer. He became a Ger. V'kiyem ha-mitzvot, and he fulfilled the mitzvot. Osifu lo yot achat al shmo. Why did... Osifu lo yot achat al shmo. No, he was called Yeter. And when he was Bitkayer, they called him Yitro. Ot achat al shmo. I mean, Avram, Avraham. Ot achat al shmo. Right? The name Chovav Shechibesh et Torah. He loved the Torah. He loved the Torah. Okay. We saw that in the story that I told. Chovav hu Yitro. Shneamar ibnei Chovav Chotein Moshe. That in one place he's called Chotein Moshe. And therefore, we only know one Chotein Moshe, that's Yitro. So Yitro and Chovav are the same person. V'yesh omrim Reuel, aviv shel Yitro aya. It's not clear about Reuel, whether he was another name, or he was Yitro's father. U'mahu omer, v'tavona el Reuel avihem. They went to the girls that Moshe Rabbeinu met, went to talk to Reuel, Shatinokot Korin Lavi Avihen Abba. So that's not such a problem. They call him Avihen. B'sifri, and there's an extra Beirush that he says, and that's Chatan Moshe. Kanaya Yitro mitkabed b'Moshe. First it says Chatan Moshe. Yitro is so proud of the fact that he's Moshe's father-in-law. Ani chotein ha-melech. Ulishavar haya Moshe tole agdula b'chamav. Shenemar, in a previous pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu sort of said, I'm happy to be related to him. Vayeshev el yeter chotno. Vayashev el yeter chotno. Okay. So the names represent primarily a special relationship between Yitro and Torah. Yitro and Torah. And it brings us to the question in Giyur, in general, somebody wants to become Jewish and he's not Jewish. In the period of time that it takes to become a full ger, I mean, what's the status of the person who wants to become, or is there a status? Is there some sort of status that this person has? So I saw that the Sfat Emet relates to this question. And I wanted to look at it with you to make sure. But Medrash, he quotes the Medrash, Shinit Gayer Hosif Lovav, which is exactly what Rashi said. Right? Rashi is based on the Medrash, and he quotes the Medrash. Mishet Gayer, when Yitro became Jewish, Hosifu Lovav, Yeter became Yitro. Adoni Mori Uskeni, that's the... the first Ger Rebbe, Adoni Mori Uskeni, the Sfat Emet is the second Gera Rebbe. The first Gera Rebbe is the Chidushi Arim, he's called Yitzchok Meir, Reish Yud Mem, Rav Yitzchok Meir. And the second one is his grandson. He had a son, but the son died very young. And the grandson was brought up in Torah. He was his Rebbe by the first Gera Rebbe. First Gera Rebbe was the Chidushi Arim. The second Gera Rebbe was his grandson, who was known as became known as the Sfat Emet. So the Adoni Mori Yuske Sfat Emet quotes his grandfather, which he does very often. He quotes his grandfather. The Chidush Yerim Shalomar, Ki Yeter. So what's Yeter? What's Yitro? What is all of this? This is Yeter Al Shem Shaya Kimiyutar Be'enei Atzmo. Yeter, he thinks it's connected to the Hebrew word Miyutar. Miyutar means unnecessary, extra, right? Like your appendix is Miyutar. It doesn't seem to do anything. So he says, Ki Yeter, why was he called Yeter? He, Yitro, why was he called Yeter? Hayak miyutar b'nei atzmo. He felt he was unnecessary, unimportant, insignificant. Before he converted, insignificant b'nei atzmo. Shehevin She'elo mitziyut mitmul kedushat b'nei Yisrael. Somehow he understood that he and b'nei Yisrael were in two different worlds. That b'nei Yisrael were being led by God and Moshe Rabbeinu and went into and fought in Milchamet Amalek and were Kriyat Yam Tzuf. So all of that indicates a very special relationship between Am Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so he says, he was miyutar b'nei atzmo. He said, who am I? I'm not doing anything great. I'm doing any of those things. I'm a simple Midianite. Shevin she'ein lo mitziyut mul kedushat Yisrael. That if you compare his existence to kedushat b'nei Yisrael, if you could do such a thing, if you could compare these two things, then it would turn out that you're nothing. That to be in part of Am Yisrael and Kedushat Am Yisrael on the one hand, and then to be the other hand, you don't have any reality. There's nothing real about you, Mul Kedushat B'nei Yisrael. Achein ki l'sheirit nachlato. Achein ki l'sheirit nachalato. This is also true. For sheirit nachalato is a pasuk in the Navi that God is concerned about those that are left over in the galut, those that are left over in the diaspora. And he says, mi el chamocha nosei avol v'al pesha l'sheirit nachalato. Who is like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is worried about the people who do these sins? It's like he felt that he was, that was him. Ki l'sheirit nachalato. Achein katav l'sheirit nachalato. V'darshu chazal. What is sheirit nachalato? Mishem esim atzmo kishirayim. Person who thinks of himself as what's left on the plate. After everybody eats, v'lechein, k'shenitgayer aya bechlal l'sheirit nachalato. And therefore, when Yitro was mitgayer, or anybody's mitgayer, aya bechlal l'sheirit nachalato, he becomes part of sheirit nachalato, what's left over, the little bit that's left over. Aval habitul Shayalo mikodem shenit gayer eino chashuv. And then the fact that before he was begayer, mit gayer, he thought of himself as being nothing. He says, I've got to become, I've got to become part of Am Yisrael. I've got to become part of Klal Yisrael. Right? He says the Kibbutah by Neatzma Shevin She Ain Lo Mitziyut Mukdashat Ben Yisrael. Achen Ki L'Sheirit Nachalato. V'Darshu Chazal Misha Misim Atzma Kishirayim. Lachem She Nitgayer. When he becomes a Jew, Aya Bechlal L'Sheirit Nachalato. He becomes part of that group. Sheirit nachalato, aval habitul shayalo kobikodon. The fact that he thought of himself beforehand as being nothing and nobody, shenitgayer, eino chashuv, ki behemet lo haya klum, rak shenitgayer, nechshav habitul shelo, nechshav habitul shelo, adkan devarav zal. Who's he quoting? He's quoting his grandfather Chiddush Yerim. Chiddush Yerim said that even though before he was Mitgayer, he was nothing. He had nothing, and he had nothing. But after he's Mitgayer, listen to these words. Nechshav habitul shelo, slicha, ki be'emet lo haya klum. He was nothing before the Giyur. Rak shel Mitgayer. Nechshav habitul, so nechshav, his bitul, the fact that he said he's nothing, he's worthless, he has no spiritual content, that bitul, nechshav habitul shelo, that even the he who was there beforehand, right, became, so this is what he sees in Yitro. What was Yitro? Yitro was a Kohen Midian. He understood something when he heard about Melchemet Amalek and he heard about Kriyat Yam Suf. He understood something that no one else understood. And he said he was nothing. How could he compare himself to the experience of Bnei Yisrael? They had experience with God. He had nothing. So he said, I'm nothing. I'm nobody. The only way to fix it is for me to mitgayer, to become part of the group that's left. Whatever is left, I want to be part of it. So the Chiddush Yerim says, and then when he's mitgayer, that last line can be met lo hayaklum, rak kishinitgayer. After he is mitgayer, Yitro Nechshav Habitul Shelo. He becomes fully recognized as an important personality. So if you would ask the Chiddush Yerim, how did it happen that Yitro was the one? Yitro was the one. Yeah, of course he was Mitgayer. But what does Mitgayer mean? Mitgayer means he thought he was before he was Mitgayer. He was nothing. He was nothing. He had no way of understanding how he could himself be so irrelevant. So the Chiddush Yerim says that's the glory of Giyur. That the Giyur, when a person converts, it means he said, he kind of brings out the fact that he was always that way. Conversion is not a radical change. It's not something that you were one way and now you're another way. In fact, you know that the Maharal and others say very clearly that who comes to be Mitgayer is probably a Jew. In other words, the Jews, in the difficulties that they had, and that's the Sheirit Nachalato idea in the prophet Micha. The Jews went from one place to another. They were expelled from one country and were welcomed by another country and expelled ultimately by that country. So that's the kind of history that we carry around with us. So we're all, so who is going to want to convert? Probably somebody who was really Jewish, but got kind of sidetracked. and could not express his true feelings. So he doesn't know any longer if he's Jewish or not. So he comes to be to go through a conversion process. But he's really, the reason he wants to be converted is because he's Jewish. So the Svatemet says, when you convert a person, then his previous nature assumes a level of Kedusha that he didn't know about. He didn't know that he had it in him. He thought that you had to change. So Yeter is the one who added the parasha in the Torah. And Yitro is the one who would mitgayer. And you know that there's a machlokes in the Gemara about whether Yitro came before Matan Torah, came after Matan Torah. Okay. But even if he came after Matan Torah, he was mitgayer, and therefore he was able somehow to express his relationship with the Torah, which is based on the way he was even before it. Okay, those of you who have the energy can finish the Sfat Emet on their own. Have a wonderful Shabbos. I'll see you next week. Be well.
Rabbi, I have something to say. I heard, it's a joke, that Yitro had to change his name every time he married off one of his daughters because he got in.
He got what?
He became in debt, DPT, from the cost of the marriage. It's a joke.
Okay, nothing like a joke. Rabbi Akiva used to tell a joke. The Gemara says Rabbi Akiva would tell a joke when he saw that the people were falling asleep. It is giving a shear. So it's not a new thing. It's not a new thing. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Be well.
Have a good Shabbos.
Thank you, Rabbi.